This week's parsha is Parshas Vayera. So it says, "Vaydaber Elokim El Moshe." God spoke to Moshe. "Vayomer Elav Ani Hashem." I am God. Right? So Elokim spoke to Moshe. Elokim, which is Midas Hadin, and he said, "I am Hashem." "Ve'era El Avraham Ve'Litzak Ve'Yaakov B'Kel Shakai." I appeared to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, the fathers, in the name Kel Shakai, Ushmi Hashem lo nadati lahem, and my name Hashem wasn't known to them. And we see Hashem is mentioned before, so it wasn't known to them. It was known to them, but it wasn't known to them in a global way. It was known to them in a local way. What do I mean by that? They recognized Shem Hashem in terms of connection with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. But here, Shem Hashem was going to be mitgale through Moshe Rabbeinu. It was going to be revealed through Moshe Rabbeinu to the whole world. That's the difference. There was complete gilui. There's a complete revelation of Shem Hashem. So you have to understand what that means. Gam hakimoti et briti itam. I established my bris with them, my covenant with them. The tetlem et eretz Canaan et eretz migureim asher garu ba. Eretz Canaan, the land of Canaan, Eretz Israel, the eretz of their dwelling, which they dwelt there, temporarily dwelt there. Right? So that's interesting why he has to mention that. And the reason being is because the whole reason for going out of Egypt, we know from the previous parasha, is for Klal Yisrael to receive Torah. And Moshe Rabbeinu being Mashiach was then supposed to take them to Eretz Yisrael. They were going to enter Eretz Yisrael and was going to start Yemot HaMashiach, the time of Mashiach, and Olam Haba, and the world was going to be fixed. Unfortunately, with Chet HaEgel, etc., etc., we mucked up, and that's why we're here today. Hopefully, we'll get the B'zal Hashem, B'mir Abi Yameinu. So what's the difference between the name Kel Shakai and the name Hashem? Kel Shakai, Shakai is Loshen of the HaKadosh Baruch Hu sufficient dai to pay reward to those who follow his ways, right? Kel is a Loshen of Chesed, but Kel Shakai is Midas of Yesod. Midas of Yesod is Midah of connection, the Midah of the Bris. That's why it mentioned at Briti, I had with Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, my bris, my covenant. Bris, or the mock of my bris is a place of connection. So Kel Shakai is a lashon of connection, but it's an individual connection. I.e., Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov had an individual connection with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Abraham, Midas HaChesed, Yitzchak, Midas HaDin, Yaakov, Midas HaTiferes, HaEmes, right? They had an individual connection. And they knew Shem Hashem, but it wasn't Nodati Lahem. It wasn't known in the world. Now known, the Lashon for known is the idea. Das is a Lashon of connection. That means when it now becomes known in the world, that name is now being connected, being expressed in the world. The full name of Kodesh Baruch Hu, Shem Havaya, we explained many times, Shem Havaya comes from the verb of Lihiyot, to be. Havaya means to be. It's the being of the Kodesh Baruch Hu in the world. Kodesh Baruch Hu's eminence in the world, his full presence in the world, and that's what we're going to see. That's why we have now. This is his name is just being revealed before the Makot, before the 10 plagues that came. That was a revelation of the Kodesh Baruch Hu's dominion in the world. That the Kodesh Baruch Hu is not only the creator of the world. He's coming and he's fully involved, fully being in the world. That's what this parasha is about. That's Va'era. That's what you're going to see. You're going to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's dominion and full being in the world. And that's the expression of the Asarat Makot. There's 10 Ma'amarot. There's 10 statements in which the world was created. There's 10 Makot. There's 10 plagues. There's Asarat HaDibrot. There's 10 Dibrot of Torah that Kodesh Baruch Hu spoke to us. They're all the same thing. The world was created with the 10 words of Kodesh Baruch Hu. Those 10 words represent the 10 emanations, 10 spherot of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The 10 plagues also represent those 10 emanations, but it represents them in HaKadosh Baruch Hu being involved and being fully expressive in the world and having complete dominion in the world. And then finally in Matan Torah, you get HaKadosh Baruch Hu complete connection through the Jewish people in the world. A revelation of his full will. To an extent, it's the creation of mankind, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's involvement with mankind, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's message and full message to mankind, how to connect, and how we're supposed to connect and bring the world to that connection. There's the birth of a person, then the person comes to an understanding of his kochot, his strengths in the world, and then a person's bar mitzvah, he comes to a yediyah, he comes to a knowledge of his creator. He understands his creator to an extent before his bar mitzvah, he understands that there's some power in the world called his creator. The actual knowledge and close, intimate knowledge of his creator only comes from Har Sinai. From the point of view of the Jewish people, Pesach, I come out of Egypt, is the birth of the nation, and Matan Torah is the Bar Mitzvah. We're born, when a person is born, he's born not through his own actions, right? This pain in being born, that pain is the Shibud of Egypt, the enslavery of Egypt, and the final birth, which is the Makot, which is the 10 plagues. And then there's a growth, as a period of Sfiras Omer, as a person grows, and he comes to full cognitive self at Matan Torah. In terms of Asharish, the others that came beforehand, but as a nation, the Jewish people were born in Egypt. So now, this Parsha, Parsha Shemos is the forming of the child. Parshas Vayera and Bo were being born. The plagues are the birth of the Jewish people. These plagues weren't just to afflict Paro, right? And to pay him for his ra. These plagues were to remove us from the influence of Egypt. To remove us from the womb from which we came. Egypt was the womb of the birth of the Jewish people. We needed to go through these inflictions in order to be formed as a Jewish people. People misunderstand things that happen to them. The goddess, everyone has an individual goddess, has an individual, his own individual, so to speak, afflictions. People misunderstand what that are. Those are things to induce in him a birth, to formulate him. That's what they're there for. They're not there to afflict him. They're there to formulate him and to form him, to give him a new form. That's what's called birth. Birth is when the form comes out in its fuller form. Or it's, you have a form in the womb. The form is being developed, right? Mm-hmm. Then when it comes out, that's a new form. And it's an individual form. It's an independent form. It's still dependent on the mother, but it's more independent. As it grows, it becomes more and more independent. And then it becomes a full cognitive self. It's with all afflictions that way. All tsaras are there. In the beginning, they're very painful. We can't deal with them. Then we learn what they're saying. We don't remove them. We try and deal with them. We try and change ourselves based on what's happening to us. That reforms us. And then you grow from that. You're a new person. There's a birth within you. And then, after that birth, then a person becomes an understanding of what's happening to him, an understanding of this new level that he has, and then he gets a more cognitive birth. That's Matan Torah. These parshas aren't only speaking about the birth of the Jewish people, they're speaking about all the concept, the whole concept of Golus. And all Golus works in this way. This is the format for Golus. The Golus and Geula and redemption. the exile and redemption. The others gave us our spiritual kochot, right? Our spiritual like gene, so to speak. That's the, if you like, the pregnancy. The pregnancy, so to speak. The others are our spiritual genes. Then, the formulation of that in the mother's womb, right? The others are the conception and the formation somewhat in the womb, right? The Jewish people get formed. But the actual golus, right, is the pangs of birth. The actual exile is the pangs of birth. Chazal use an interesting lashon. They call it Bikur HaBazel. We call it the melting pot. You know, like when you make iron, so there's a lot of like bad stuff that goes to the top. So this is called the Kur HaBazel, where you take the iron or the gold and you put it in this furnace, and then the bad stuff floats on the top and is removed, and then you get pure metal coming out. That's what Golus is for. Golus is to remove absolut, to remove the ra, to remove the bad in us, to be nakeh from the bad.
So when you
clean from the bad. The Golus of Mitzrayim didn't have to be this way. We didn't have to be afflicted. We could have gone to Egypt, been connected with our Creator. That we learned in Parshas Vayechi. We didn't learn that. Parshas Vayechi started the Shibud because we lost our spiritual connection. Nistimu enayim velibam. Our hearts and our eyes were closed to the words of Hashem, the connection with Hashem. And the spiritual goddess started. So then afterwards, in Parshas Shemot, started the physical goddess. Now the Shorash of the goddess starts with the office. Avraham Avinu went to Egypt. The Ramban says that's because he was chote, so we had to go to Egypt, right? Yaakov Avinu with Lavan. What happened with Lavan was, that's why when we do the Leil Seder, we start with Lavan. Lavan, the Gemara says, was the shorash of Golus Mitzrayim, and Lavan was a big part of the causing of that Golus. The removing of our children and the whole scenario, I'm not going to go into that, the whole scenario of being chased, and Yaakov being a part of the sea with his makel, with his rod, right? And he went through, and Lavan chased after him, it was like Paro chased after him, and the whole shibud, the whole work, Yaakov worked for Lavan. He worked like he was enslaved to Lavan. That's slavery to Lavan. And then Lavan caused a lot of the problems of Jewish people. Yaakov was supposed to have married Rachel. Mm-hmm. She was supposed to be Ikar Abayis. Had he married Rachel first, he would have had Yosef. Yosef would have been the Bechor. There would be no argument of Yosef's authority between the brothers. Because he married Leah, and Leah was Sinua, was hated because she was, you know, Rachel gave her the simanim. The role between Rachel and Leah were changed. Reuven was the Bechor, Yehuda was Malchus, and now Yosef comes along and says that he's the Bechor. And he was the Bechor in terms of the Shvatim, he was the Bechor. And they knew that he wasn't. Malchus was coming from Yehuda, and Reuven was the Bechor. That caused the machlokas between Yosef and his brothers, the swapping of Rachel and Leah. And that hatred between the brothers and the selling of Yosef is the seed of our goddess. And it's the reason, it's written down in Torah, it's the reason for this last goddess. Our last goddess, the base of Midrash, was destroyed. And even the previous one. The previous one also was with Ritzicha. There was also a hatred there. The Siva for our goddess is the hatred of the brothers. That's like our spiritual genes. That hatred still exists within the Jewish people. And that disparity, that hatred, and that disparity that's within us is the reason for our goddess. The reason for exile, and that's the reason for the exile of the whole world. The world today is not a world of loving. It's not a world of caring. Why? Because our world, the Jewish people's world, we're in Galus because of Sinat Chinam. If within, where the Shorish of the world, where the source of the world, if within our camp there's hatred, there's Sinat Chinam, there's not Ahava, then the world doesn't have it. Because what we have, we bring to the world. That's why the world is going towards a process of din, going towards a process of disparity, a process of everyone for themselves, everyone taking. That's a world of sina, that's a world of hatred. It's a world of looking after your own self. You understand? That's what we need the Gula for. That's what we're learning, how to change that. Changing is a kor habazel, is a painful process. To change, to remove a person from his desires and from himself, and to make him aware of another person to the extent that he cares in a proper way, takes a lot of work. That's what we're here for. That's the geula that we're longing for. That everyone, when we talk about geula, what are we talking about? That the nations won't have wars. The lion with the sheep, kilu, like, you know, everyone will be in unity. Even the goyim talk about utopia. That's the meaning of the Mashiach. Everyone, you know, all altruists, you know, about loving world, caring. Yeah, they get a little wrong, right? They're beyond the boundaries. But intrinsically, there's a truth there. If there wasn't a truth, people wouldn't think it. People wouldn't want it. Everyone realizes it. Deep down, everyone realizes it. The whole world realizes it. It's just difficult to change. That's what we're here for. That's what God asks us for, to change that. To change the rule. To switch our heads. So what question you're asking is, we're not on the parasha, so I'm going to do, where do we see this change? How does the change happening? When people get to a point when their life's painful, then they change. Pain induces change. The galus was very painful. Pain can induce depression and the removal of a person from the world. Pain can induce change. Depends on the person. The person has free will. But that's what the goddess does. Goddess puts us in a painful place that induces us to change. To begin to realize that something's wrong. People don't go to a doctor unless something's pain. It's a chesed of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. If you have a cut, you feel the pain. If you didn't feel the pain, you might just walk around with the cut and be bleeding. And you might bleed, you know, chas v'shalom. Because Baruch Hu is a chesed, there will be pain in the area that you need to change. And it's a very precise pain. That if you personally think about it, you can work out where and how to change. It doesn't make sense that a Kodesh Baruch Hu will give you pain if you don't know where it is and how to change it. You might, just as if you, you know, if a person has a headache, he'll go to a head doctor, right? Or earache, an ear doctor, right? He knows which doctors to go to. So Chazal said, you have chachamim. Go to the right chacham to answer your problem, to see how to change. Go and yelech etzel chacham. Go to, and he'll help you to change. That's what Godus is there for. Godus is to awaken us to that change. And the more we change, the deeper the Godus. And everyone has Godus. Everyone has to change. And everyone has the joy of Geula. The process of change, there is pain in it, but there's also joy. The process to change is one of the biggest joys that a person could experience. So long as he's in that process. And even there, though there are times of pain, since the process is a process of proactive change, there's tremendous joy. That's what it's all about. That's what the whole individual life is about, the whole world's about, the whole Jewish people's about. We're in this proactive pain to change. And pain is not a din. Pain is a tremendous chesed if we understand it properly. If you want to remove it, then it's a din, because we didn't take the message that it came with. We didn't learn from it. We're shutting it off. We're closing it. We're living with the pain. We're not using it to change ourselves. And if we don't know how to use it, go to sit, understand, deal with it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't give you something you can't cope with. If he gives you something which is difficult, you might need to sit down and I can't deal with all of this, I'll deal with a little bit of a chunk at a time, a little bit at a time. So long as you're in the process of saying, I'm going to think and I'm going to change, there will be tremendous joy from that change. Because that's the tachlis of life, that's the purpose of life. The purpose of life for a person to come to its own individual geula, and through each individual, the Jewish people comes to their geula, and the world comes to its geula. We change the world by changing our individual self. The hardest thing to change is yourself. The hardest thing. And that's where the avodah is. And that's changing the whole world. That's what Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said. That's how we change the world. Avodas Atzmi, and mele ripples to our friends, our family, our friends, and the whole world. And the ripple's not a small ripple. The ripple's a very, very big ripple. And it can cause a tremendous change in the world. Now it says, V'gam ani shamati et na'akat bnei Yisrael. I heard the cry of the Jewish people. Hashem Mitzrayim ma'abidim otam ve'esko abriti, and I'll remember my bris. Next verse, L'chein, emor l'bnei Yisrael, say to the Jewish people, Ani Hashem, I am Hashem. Now he's going to appear to us, Ani Hashem. That's what the plague is going to be about. V'hotzeiti etchem mitachat sivlo Mitzrayim. That's the first Loshon of Geula. The first Loshon of Geula is you're going to be removed from your pain. You're going to move from Mitzrayim. The avoda of Mitzrayim. Remember, they were 210 years in Egypt. They were born into slavery. Born into slavery for generations. We have to remove them from that slave mentality. So first, we're going to remove the enslavement. Second, v'tzalti etchem ma'avodatam. I'm going to save you from their avoda. What does it mean I'm going to save you from their avoda? Even when you're not enslaved, you're threatened they're going to go back to slavery. You have still slave mentality. You still have the mentality that you're still a slave. I'm going to save you from that. That you're not going to have that worry of getting back there. Right? And we see, they were always, even when they went out, it was still happening. They wanted to go back to Egypt, or at least the Arab Rav, right? And then the Jewish people. They were a slave mentality. The slave mentality here, and what Egypt represents, Mitzrayim is Meitza. It's Mokum Tzar, the place of Tzar. Talk of narrowness. Mitzrayim is a place we know from Chazal. Asher Bisach Hamorim Bisaram, as the apostle said about Mitzrayim. The flesh of a donkey. Donkey's physicality is their flesh. V'zirmat susim zirmatam. And the issue of horse is their issue, i.e. horses are very promiscuous. In other words, they're the sea of Tiber. Mitzrayim is the sea of Tiber. That's called in Chazal Meitza, to be in a narrow place. When a person is subjected to his desires to the extent that he's just completely following them, he's narrow. He's in a Meitza. He's in a strained, constrained place. Like you guys, he has no free will. He's constrained. He has no shlita. He has no dominion of himself. The shibud of Mitzrayim was a complete shibud to Paro. which para we learn from Besidus Yesharim represents the Yetzirah. That's right. Last week's parasha, we see that when they're just about to get out, it says, "Oh, nirpim atem," makes it harder. That's what the Yetzirah does. Just when you're just about to, you know, start something new, it makes it harder for you. V'ga'alti etchem b'zeruah netuyah. Now you're going to be redeemed with an outstretched arm. U'b'shvatim gdolim, and with big, how do you say it in English? Big, it's dominion, like Moshe Mishpat, dominion, with complete dominion, with great dominion, right? Ayah Kodesh Baruch Hu, now the Geula, right, is that you're going to be taken out, not going to be taken out here, just walked out. You're going to be taken out in a miraculous way, in a completely caring way. There's going to be complete separation between you and we're going to see and Egypt. You're going to be removed completely from any concept that you had of Egypt. All, so to speak, the desires or the narrowness of Egypt is going to be removed from you. Remember we said Geula, the difference between Galus and Geula is the difference of an Aleph. It's the revealing of the Aleph within you. The revealing of the Aleph in the world. Aleph represents Alufo Shel Olam. The revealing of the connection with your Creator. That connection now comes with the Asarat Makot, with these 10 emanations of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And finally, V'lakachti etchem li la'am, I'm going to take you as a people, V'ayiti lechem le'elokim, and I'll be you as a God, V'yedatam ki ani Hashem, then you will know fully, there'll be a full cognitive connection. Ki ani Hashem elokeichem motzi etchem mitachat tziv lo Mitzrayim. That's Matan Torah. Then you become Lekach Tov. It's an acquirement. We become married. We become cognitive with our Creator. Or Bar Mitzvah, however you want to say it. That's Matan Torah. And finally, Ve'veti Tchem El Eretz, El Ha'aretz Asher Nasati Et Yadi, Letet Ota La'Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, Natati Otam Lachem Mor Hashani Hashem. Then we're going to come to Eretz Yisrael. Then we'll be living with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Matan Torah is marriage. Eretz Yisrael is living. It's ksuva. It's living. It's nisuyin. It's living with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. The Heveti, we don't have yet. We only have four kosot because we only had the fourth. We had the four things that happened to us. We had Hutzeti. We were brought now Hitzalti from the Avoda, right? Gaalti, we removed the plagues. Lakachti, we had Matan Torah. Heveti, we don't have Heveti to Eretz Yisrael. I mean, we're living in Eretz Yisrael. We don't have Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael with Beis Hamikdash, Yimot HaMashiach, we don't have yet. That's the fifth cost, which is Rishus in the Haggadah, right? But the four kosot we have, that's why we mentioned the four kosot. The fifth one is Rishus. Okay, I'm going to skip a little bit. It says that Moshe came to Paro, and he says, send my people me'atzo from his land. That's what Kodesh Baruch Hu said. Ve'edaber Moshe lifnei Hashem lo, hen b'nei Yisrael lo shama elai. Ech yishmoni paro v'ani arel sfatayim. How will paro listen to me? I need arel sfatayim. Here Chumash says that Moshe Rabbeinu was arel sfatayim. He had orla, which means atima. He couldn't speak. Why couldn't Moshe Rabbeinu speak? So everyone knows the Midrash, you know, the coals and the stone and the gold and the mouth came and pushed into the coal, they put it in his mouth, and because of that, he couldn't speak. No. Moshe Rabbeinu was Arel Sfatayim because Moshe Rabbeinu's das was on such a high level of aspect gloria, right? His devuah was so clear, meir, that it couldn't be expressed in words. When a person has too much to express, he stutters. It can't be expressed. So he was Arel Sfatayim. He couldn't fully, his words were nistam from what he had up here. You understand what I'm saying? It was Satum. That's why Chumash to us is a closed book. We can't understand Chumash. If we didn't have Teresh or Baal Peh, Chumash would be a closed book to us. Now Chumash, before it starts, the whole whole, all the markers it goes through now. Eile, Roshe, Beit Avot, Bnei Reuven, B'chol Yitzhar, Chanoch, B'chol, it goes through all the lists of all the, and it goes to the Levi, and it tells you about Moshe v'Aaron, the Yichus of Moshe v'Aaron, and who Aaron and Moshe, Asher Amar Hashem Lahem, Otziot, Neisom, Eretz Yisrael, Al Tzivotam. Right? V'em Amadabrim El Paro. They're the ones speaking to Paro. Yeah? Moshe v'Aaron. And it says Moshe v'Aaron, Aaron and Moshe, because they're equal. V'yom Dibe Hashem and Moshe, Eretz Yisrael. Okay. So what's this whole little bit of Chumash telling us the genealogy of Moshe v'Aaron? Why do you have to tell the whole genealogy of Moshe v'Aaron before I go into the Exodus? I mean, we had parashas of genealogy in Parashas Shemos. Why now, just before I'm going to the Exodus, I have to go to the genealogy? What's important about that? Yichus is a very important thing. Jonah is a very important thing. It's coming to teach us how miyuchas Moshe v'Aaron were, and therefore they were fitting to be the ones to redeem us. Not anyone can redeem the Jewish people. You have to be fitting to redeem. So it's going through the genealogy to explain to us that they had a special genealogy of tzaddikim, and they were therefore a fit vessel through which HaKadosh Baruch Hu could bring the Geula. That's the purpose of this genealogy. And that's an important thing. So now Moshe and Aaron come to Paro. So it says, V'yom HaShem, Revi word, V'yom HaShem HaMoshe, V'l'Aaron, Nemo. Ki yidaber aleichem Paro. Paro will speak to you. Lemor. Tenu lechem mofet v'amarta el Aaron. Kach et matecha. Take your mate, your rod. V'ashlech nifnei Paro v'yil tanin. It will be a tanin, like a snake or a crocodile, whatever it is. V'yavo Moshe v'Aaron el Paro. V'yasken. V'yasuken. They did this. Kashet tziva Hashem. Like Kol Yivorchu said. V'yashlech Aaron et mateu. He threw his rod. If ne power of Neavada, Vihid the Tanin was a snake. Vayikra Gam Paro Chachamim Lachshefeim to his Chautumim, his wizards, whatever you want to call them. Vayasu Gam Hem Chautumim Mitzrayim Belatehem, Ken, with their witchcraft. They had, when it says that Paro knew Elohim, he had dominion on the physical world. This wasn't Stam. Egypt, you could know a slave could leave Egypt. Not because they had a wall, because the Kishuf, no one could leave. Like, you know, like a force field sort of thing. No one could leave. They were complete dominion on the physical world. You see, they had dominion in the first two plagues. We have to understand that. V'yashlichu ish matehu v'ayu letaninim. They also threw there, and they were the Mateo, and it was a tanin. Vaivla, now this is what it says. Vaivla mate Aaron. Aaron's mate, when it was a rod, absorbed the snakes. Et matotam, et their rods, when they were snakes. Vyechazek lev paro, velo shema alem, kashe dibe Hashem. What was all this business for? This little business over here with Paro was telling Paro what's going to happen. It's brought out in Sfarim that Mate is Memtet Hey. Memtet is the Memtet Shari Bina, the 49 level. You have 50 days to Shavuos, you have 49 levels of Sfaris Omer, and the 50th is Shari Bina. That means the highest level of closeness that we can reach to Hashem. Yeah? That's Torah. So the Mate represents these Memtet. It's just as there's Memtet in Kedusha, there's Memtet in Tumah, in impurity. Paro had all Memtet Shari Tumah. He had complete dominion on the physical world and on all the Ra, all his Koach. Paro was Mechashev Gadol, he was a big sorcerer. He had complete dominion. He represented the Ra in the world. That's why we speak about Tanin, we speak about snakes. This represents the Koach Ra in the world. the hay, right? This five represents the 50th level. So within the Mateh of Moshe V'Aaron represents the Koach of Kedusha in the world. The Mateh of Chautumei Yitzrayim represents the Koach Hara in the world. The Koach Hara is represented in the snake. Right? When Aaron's rod absorbed the snakes of Yitzrayim as a rod, it represented that the Koach of Kedusha in the world had its complete dominion on the Koach Hara. And Yivla, when you're bole something, it's absorbed, has complete dominion over it. It doesn't exist, it's completely Nivla in the Kedusha. Moshe showed Paro that he, representing Kriish Baruch Hu, we have complete dominion over the Ra in the world, over all your Koach. Our Koach is greater than your Koach. That was his whole meaning. Paro's heart was made hard. And we're going to see the first five plagues, his heart, Kodesh Baruch Hu made his heart hard, and there was a reason for this. In order to give his muftim to the Jewish people, that the Jewish people will be removed, they needed these makot in order to be removed from the influence of Paro. They could just walk out. Had we walked out, we wouldn't have been fixed, we would come back. The plagues were not only to afflict power, they also to remove us from this concept of the slavery, like I said before. It says, Pasuk Tesva says, Lech el Paro, go to Paro Babok. Hinei Yotzei HaMayim, he's going to, Paro made himself of a desaro. He didn't need to go to the toilet. When he used to go? Go to the river. So that's the time we catch him when... You're not exactly the Avodah Zarah you think. You have all the needs of a person. Like, how you call it? So he goes to Yehor, but it's after Likratzo al Sfat Yehor, stand in front of him the Nile. V'hamateh asher nehfach lanachash, the nateh which turned into a snake, tikach b'yedecha, take it with you. Right? V'amateh elav Hashem Elokei Ha'ivrim, Shalchani Elecha, send me to you. Lemo. Shalach et ami v'yabduni. Send my people out and let them serve me b'midbar. V'hinei lo shamata ad ko. You didn't hear till now. Ko ama Hashem, bezot teda, ki ani Hashem. This you know that I am Hashem. Hinei ochi makeh b'mateh. I'm going to hit with this mateh. Asher b'yadi al amayim, asher b'yor, v'nefchu l'adam. The yor, which represents the sustenance of Egypt, which represents Egypt itself. It's they served the Yehor. That was the Avodah Zarah. That was the place, the Paro, because of the Bracha of Yaakov. Nile used to come and be mashke the whole of Egypt. That was the source of their livelihood. Vadaga asher b'yor tamud uba'ash hayor le'or. The Yehor become disgusting. V'nilu Mitzrayim lishtot mayim v'nayor. They won't be able to drink the waters. So now Aaron takes this, and he hits the waters, and there's a reason, because the waters saved Moshe Rabbeinu, Sakar Satov, so Moshe Rabbeinu didn't hit the waters. Waters have feeling? No. Rather, we have to have a feeling. A bowl that you drank from, don't throw a stone in it. It's your sensitivity. And Lachor, it's a little hard to understand that, because the Yor was doing Kodesh Baruch Hu's shlichus. There can't be a bigger Kiddush Hashem than that shlichus. But since, from the point of view of Moshe Rabbeinu, it was still an affliction to the mind, there was a little bit of a not proper hakara, so that had to be done with Aaron. Right? The first two plagues we're going to see because of this were done by Aaron. But why do we start with the Yor? Why do we start? The first thing that the Kodesh Baruch Hu does is he destroys the Avodah Zarah. The Yor, which represented the Avodah Zarah of Paro, was destroyed. And the Jewish people saw that. There was a clarity. That was the beginning. The first thing a Kodesh Baruch Hu does to us in our individual lives is destroys our Avodah Zarah. Destroys that thing that we believe in. Shows to us that our thinking is wrong. That's the first thing that goes. That's the first place of Gula. A person can't change. That's why the Rambam, when Rambam speaks about in Hilchos Deis, about change, he speaks about habituation. But he calls it Hilchos Deis. You can't habituate to a new way of behavior unless you change your Deis, change your thinking. The first thing you have to realize is your mistake. After you realize your mistake, then you can change. Then you can habituate, then you can learn, and you can progress. That's where it has to go. So, and here there was a difference. Jews had to drink, they sold, what they sold to was water. They had now, they were beginning to feel like, you know, the Egyptians needed them. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? There you're all, you know, they could make a, they could make some money now, they could sell, like, you know, their smoothies to the Egyptians. They now felt it was a beginning of freedom. There was a taste of freedom. Now the Egyptians were coming to them to get their livelihood, their sustenance. Their needs came from the Jew, not from the Yehor. But here Chatun Mitzrayim could do the same thing. So Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Next plague, the Sfaradeah. So now we have the Sfaradeah. So it says, "Im ma'anata l'shalach hinei anochi nogefet kol gvulecha b'sfaradim." All your boundaries will come from Sfaradim. V'sharat hayor Sfaradim, and the Sfaradim came to the Yor, not from the Nile. Not only now is the Nile not giving with the when it came blood, right? Dam represents like a death. There was a death of the Nile. Not only is it something dead, you can't benefit from it. Now the Nile becomes the source of the Sfaradeah, the source. Normally the Nile brings them sustenance. Now the Nile is bringing them bad, bringing them ra. Not only their Avodah Zarah, they can't help them, they can't get their sustenance from their Avodah Zarah. Now their Avodah Zarah is turning on to be ra for them, to be bad for them. Chatume Mitzrayim, with regards to their own Avodah Zarah, also had dominion with the Sfaradim, because that was their Avodah Zarah. Their Avodah Zarah, these two plagues, which was associated with the Nile, they had dominion. But after that, they're not going to have any dominion. And these Sfaradim, right? So the Sfaradim went into their houses, Bechere Mishkavecha, threw all sorts of things into their mouths, into their food, everything. It was completely... went in all of Egypt. So now, when it says about it, it says, and there's an interesting midrash that says, "Pasuk base for Yad Aaron et Yado." Now, Aaron has also to do with the Nile, right? Across the Al Mimei Mitzrayim, but Ta'al Sfaradeah, and came out the Sfaradeah, but Tachas et Eretz Mitzrayim, and covered the whole of the land of Egypt. The Chatumim could do. Why says Sfaradeah? So Rashi brings the midrash here. Sfaradeah achat haita, it was one Sfaradeah. Vayu makinota, they would hit it. Vaya metezit nitilim, nechilim, nechilim, zeh midrasho. Right? Why Chazal didn't say it was a big Sfaradeah and they hit it? They weren't, they couldn't accept their affliction. They couldn't accept the Sfaradeah, the Ari says, we saw in Rav Nachman, he brings it. Sfaradeah is sipu deah. Sipu is a lotion of nigun, a lotion of dibu, a lotion of speak. Speeching of deah. There's one affliction that a person gets. There's one affliction that the Nile, the place where he thought his sustenance, his Avodah Zarah, no longer gives him. Then when that Avodah Zarah pains him, he hits it. He doesn't want to associate, he doesn't want to accept that. He still holds by that. He can't be that this thing is bringing me my affliction. It can't be that this Avodah Zarah is the source of my affliction. This Ra that I'm doing is the source of my affliction. It can't be. He's hitting it and it gets worse. And there's more Sfaradeah. He's not listening to the Tzipor there. He's not listening to that Nigun. The Nigun of the Kodesh Baruch Hu, that voice of the Kodesh Baruch Hu, of Das, just telling him to change. That's what Sfaradeah represents. Now the third one is on land, right? On the chol, the Alpha, and we see the Kirim, and because Moshe also didn't do this one, because Moshe was saved by the Alpha, that it absorbed the Egyptian, and his life was saved because of that. So again, there's a Karas HaTov, and Aaron had to do it. Yeah? And now, the Egyptians didn't have any dominion. Chazal say, because a Kina is smaller than a Kadasha, like the size of a lentil, right? It's a very small size. Smaller than that, there's no tumor. Nothing has tumor smaller than a Kadasha. There's no tumor. In terms of animals, right? That's in the Dasha. Sheretz doesn't have any tumor. So there was no dominion on the Chautum in Mitzrayim. They had no dominion on this. And now come the Kinim. What the Kinim are? Kinim plagued the whole land of Egypt and the animals, right? In the it says Ve'yasu chen Chautumim. Right? So it says, let's do the pasuk. V'yas ken v'yet Aaron et yado v'matehu v'yach et ha'af ha'aretz v'tehi ha'kinam v'adam on man u'b'behema kol af ha'aretz v'yakinim v'chol eret Mitzrayim. And the kinim u'n be'eret Mitzrayim v'yas u'chen chatum v'latem lo tzit ha'kinim v'lo yachlu v'tehi ha'kinim v'adam behema v'yom ha'chatumim. The chatumim now said El Paro etz be'elokim hi. This is the finger of God. The first five times, for his Baruch Hu to mechazek his heart, hardened his heart, in order. What now we see in this third plague, Etzbe Elokim. There's a recognition even from Mitzrayim. This is beyond our dominion. This is Etzbe Elokim. We're now in the land. So the Nile, from not giving his sustenance to being the source of our affliction, and our whole being is completely uncomfortable. Our whole land is scratching with it. The whole, there's a complete irritation. The whole being is irritation. Right? The whole being of a person is irritated. The whole pain of his whole body. Right? He can't live like this. Kinim comes the word ken, kan is basis. The whole basis for man's existence was being uprooted here. Man can't live with this pain, with this tsar. Think about it, scratching the whole time. You can't, all your whole focus is just on this pain, this irritation. You can't escape it. The Sfaradim, okay, you know, bash one, you hit one, oh, well, you close the door, this, jump into here, but it's not all the time. I mean, they're coming, Kinim is all the time, in every part of your body, all your animals, your whole being. That's better, okay. Now there's a recognition. When that happens, at that level of pain, a person can't fight. That level of pain, he realizes that he has to change. You understand? That's a basis. His whole basis has been removed. Once your whole basis, your whole land, your whole being is being removed, you have to change. And the Jewish people saw now very clearly that this is Etzbe Elokim. And now starts the process on the land. And now we're going to go from the land, right? And here the affliction also starts on the animals, right? So their livestock were being affected. So not only the cells are being affected, the whole income, the whole land, the whole livestock.